He holds the chair of architecture and information technology at La Sapienza University in Rome, Italy. He is also the coordinator of the PhD in architecture theory and design at La Sapienza University. Apart from that, Professor Saggio is the director and editor of one of the most well-known book series on information IT in architecture. And he is one of the best-known authors in contemporary architecture in Italy. In particular, his publication on Peter Eisenman, according not only to me but to other people, is one of the best book ever written on Eisenman, because it has a very profound investigation not only of the work of Eisenman but also on the instruments and the design and compositive instruments that Eisenman uses. And in this series, his series of lectures, this weekend will be focused on the work of Peter Eisenman. And for more, I'd like to let.
Grazie. Thank you very much. Thanks. It's a great pleasure to be here at Polis again. I've been here probably eight to ten times. I know the old building downtown. Many of you probably don't know. It's a part of your past, but for me it is part of the story. Going to the personal issues, we have time, so relax. We are going up to 5 o'clock. Okay, so we have time. So to really go into this topic and to enjoy the occasion from your side and from my side as well. So we have plenty of time. We know what we are doing. You are a motivated group of students. Some of you is already architect. So we are going to do a great experience in these 3 days, because this time I'm staying with you 3 days. So it is quite a bit, you know. There is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and leaving Sunday afternoon. So we have plenty of time, and we have a rich strategy in our mind, that is the strategy to kind of delve within the world of Peter Eisenman, but try to understand. There is not such a thing as Peter Eisenman. First thing that you have to understand from the very beginning. There is a lens that is put on the work of an important architect, an important theoretician, that is given to you to the categories of this person. So it's also always a mixture. That is my Peter Eisenman. You know, it's my way to look at this body of knowledge and to transmit that through the categories that we think it is important. So you have to pretty much understand that. So it is delving within a series of issues that are historical, theoretical, and also design issues, but looked from the lens of one person. Peter Eisenman will not do this lecture at all. He will do something completely different in many different moments of his life, and particularly today he will not, for sure, give a talk like this. The idea is that since we have 3 days, we are going today to have a kind of more general overview of the theoretical and the design issues about this thinking of architecture, and then tomorrow we will have a more kind of design-oriented, operative talk and lecture that will motivate some categories of your actual design exercise, because this is also a workshop, so you will be involved also in design. So we approach that probably in the second part of Saturday and Sunday will be more oriented towards workshop and person-to-person talk. That is kind of idea. This is the structure that we have proposed. So today, from now to 5 o'clock, we'll go in the first part. Probably we have a short break in the middle, because otherwise it's overwhelming. Overwhelming to do it all in one long session. Is it agreed? Is okay? Or we can change? Somebody wants to do it on Gary instead of Eisman? I can do it on Gary. We are fine with Eisman? Okay? The majority thinks that is interesting. So we are on this boat. You accept the navigation. Fine. Otherwise I can do it rather fast in another way. I deal with architectural theory and criticism in different ways, but I also am a person that thinks that information technology is an important part of our life. It is an important instrument, it is an important challenge, it's something to know and to always use. So in this particular occasion, we don't do too much on that, but it's very important, few things that are fundamental, and then you understand how it works. So there are, I'm passing to you very simple information that are very important from now on. First thing, my name is basically the key to everything. So my name is this one. This is, you just Google my name. And if you are a little more curious, you can do this. You can do Google Antonino Sargiopoulos and see, well, we have 145 results. I think there is, probably there are not 145,000, but probably around 100, 200 are good results. Each of these are something that tell you in the story of the relationship between me and Polis, important pieces of information. We don't go to that, but this is basically the fourth workshop that we are doing here. We've done one on Ferragni, we've done exhibit, we've done one on Sauer. I've been here talking about the book and doing all sorts of things, and particularly we also run together a very rich and very rewarding experience in Sicily that basically I'm joined with Polis in making this little world. You know? We built together a little world. Okay? So if we are just curious, just there, I've never done that, but these are only the images. Look how many there are that are involved in a way the two keywords. So through that, you basically can delve in whatever direction you want. So if we want to see, I think the last one is this one, right? Last year we did Sauer, and again here you can basically go to everything. You know, here is the lecture. We can see how it is thing. So you jump on that and you see whatever happened about Sauer, because last year we did a different thing. So now let's go back to this year and what we are doing. So we just go there and we go to the first result that is my home page. Now, this home page is a kind of Amazon jungle of information that is basically is built for expert traveler. The expert traveler knows how to go around and how to use it, and the other person is a kind of a little bit scared at the beginning, because there is 5,000 megabytes, that is a huge amount of information. Many are also video and audio, because I'm recording right now what I'm telling, so it's available. No, for now it's fine. It is available for you later on in the future, but as well as whenever you want. So I'm recording this and will be online very, very soon. So here there is lots of things. The last of relevance, it is that the last book about this book series, the 38th book of this book series, is about my dear friend Antonino Di Raimo, about this book that tonight, after we are together, he will do the last check, right, for the English translation. So we are able to have it in English for the Biennale opening, when Francois Roche will be there. So just to tell you how much liaison we have one with the other, but again, everything here for us started with Ledian, that was still a student at that time, came to me, was still in the graduation process. He came to me and said, "Professor, but you know, in Albania, a friend of me told me that there is an interesting school starting there." And as soon as he said that, okay, I said, "Ledian, we have to do a strategy here. This is too important. We have to build up a strategy how this can be a very important result." So imagine how many things there is, and Ledian is with us. Also, Loris Rossi has been in a part within my, let's say, circle many years ago, but is also a PhD student, and I collaborated with his thesis a bit. So I feel in a family, also a little bit. I know many individuals, and many of you I've already seen in different situations, right? Okay. So, as a form of elegance, I will always announce the things that I do, but since for many reasons that you're realizing later on, I don't show immediately the link, where is the material. That is very important. So these things is only there. People know, you know, that we're going to do this. And I invented this, the chessboard of Peter Eisman, that right now you have no idea what does it mean. And it's done by this by purpose. And you will discover later on what does it mean, this title, why we invented this title. So you don't know how to go to the material. But the first thing, I always put a hidden link. So if I start to know somewhere, people that watch with me know that there is must be a hidden link somewhere. And people get crazy to understand where is the hidden link. Because only when the thing is done, I publish the link. Now is an hidden link. So only the people that is with me in this room know where is the hidden link, although there are friends around the world that know the tricks. And since I published, they sort of look where it is. Well, I wanted to make the life easy, and the hidden link is over here, where there is this little light here. You click there, boom, and we are in the material. So you are the only one to know where it is, okay? This is fundamental. This is fundamental because it's the way to go not only to the cell, the material that is available for you, but also to the links. And as you are going to see, there are lots of links. And the links are very precious material to you to work with. Several things are in Italian, others are in English. Since we are in the web, that is not such a tremendous difficulty as one time because we have good Google translation. So you want to have this page in English, it's a rough English. You can even have in Albanese if you prefer, you know, basically it doesn't make any difference. Of course, it will be a little bit funny. They translate my still in 2014, technique of artificial intelligence in Google are amazing, bad. Even if I have 1 million entries, they are still translating my name in English, Antonino Wise, you know. To tell you how certain things are funny, you know. You are supposed that, you know, should be able to connect, you know, but they're not. But besides these funny things, the main things work, okay? So we are in this world, and all the information is available, and you are going to understand why it's important to have this information available later on, because this is a cultural thing, but it's also an operative thing. So this little trick is fundamental for you. But later on, I will create this public, and will be the audio for the rest of them. Okay, those that are not here, but we are in a kind of situation that we share, and this is symbolically also very important. Okay, now let's start now this talk about Peter Eisman. In a certain moment, Peter Eisman said, Terragni doesn't exist. Terragni I invented. I am Terragni. And then I call the one part of the book, in fact, Peter Tirani. So you can use the same analogy here, of course. We are interpret this work. Now, I think that some, since there are some PhD students here and there are people of different level, I think also some scholarly level is important to get through, to understand how the things are built one on top of the other. When I was 40, almost 20 years ago, I was finally able, after 10 years of work, more or less, to publish a relevant book on Giuseppe Terragni. Giuseppe Terragni is fundamental, is the first step to understand how we want to see Eichmann and how we want to approach Eichmann, but this is not something that I say because I wrote the book on Terragni. It's, of course, Eichmann himself that always, all the time says that, so I'm not telling anything original. It's something very well known. When I finished this book of Terragni, after, again, many, many, many years of work, this book on Terragni is, on a way, is a very peculiar book in the field of architecture, because as a structure that is a kind of life and work, and the life and work is not very common in the architectural writing. It belongs more to history of art, as a way. So it's kind of a product that combines the all the cultural situation, the life of Terragni, and his work. But his work is being seen with a lot of details, and particularly is seen how a design understands and interprets the work. So the combination of these two things, with a very important publisher, make this book a big effort and a big liberation at the same time for me when it was finished. A huge liberation. Particularly because it was a book that was dealing with probably the most important Italian architect. And generally those things are done by historian and not by designer, although with a solid, historical preparation, but generally they belong to the historian circle. So after the Terragni book was done, Bruno Zevi, that is an important figure in Italian culture, architecture, and politics also. I know that Diramo almost finished this course with a session on Zevi, started a new book series. And this book series has completely new capabilities. We check at the library if this book is there. Otherwise, I have a copy that will use tomorrow. I forgot today, but I brought it. So we can have it. And I will give it to the library if there is not there. And the book series was a completely different structure. Was the idea to have a dense book, but that was given to the rest of us, was in the newsstand, so was in thousands and thousands and thousands of copies. And they asked me, since he was launching the book series, what I wanted to do, and I said right away, Peter Eichmann. Why? Because it was that connection between Terragni and Eichmann, built in Iceland, and also because from my point of view, I was able to create a kind of closer triangle in a way. So, this way started the book, and the book I made it available to you. The book is available to you through this link. If you go there, okay, this is already, I'm going already in a rough English translation of the entire book. So, this actually is a more extended version of the book. It is actually the original version that I give to the publisher. So for the people that really want to, there are some people that really love that book, as Ledian said. So they can really understand the difference between the it's a kind of a directory cut book. So with this is translating. It in English will arrive. Here it is. Okay. I will check if everything is fine. Okay, I think you went to a wrong link, but I will fix in a second, okay? Here I am, right? I don't have your voice. Okay. So anyway, with that link we can go to the original book. Let me see what's happening here. Okay, se fermare. Vediamo se tutto va bene. Oh, oh, questi sono i moduli. Let's do the path again. Let's see if anything goes wrong. Internet works, we'll do the whole path again. It will be simpler then. Okay, andiamo qua. Let's go here. And from here we go there. So we know the path again. Path. Here we are. We are in good condition. Okay. So I will double check the link, but will be available, the old text. Okay, now let's really start. Let's start from Ferragni, because Eichmann really started from Ferragni its own career as an architect. He started to really, really study the architecture of Ferragni. You have to understand that we are in the 60s, in the Anglo-Saxon culture. Eichmann graduated in the 50s as some work in different offices, and then at the beginning of the 60s he decided to go to a PhD himself. The PhD was organized by Cambridge University, and the mentor was Sir Leslie Martin, an important architect there. But actually, his real mentor was not Leslie Martin, but was Colin Rowe, which is one of his bon father, as he called it, and they played a very, very important influence on him on a first phase. What is this influence, and why Ferragni was important? Now, the position of Colin Rowe in the 50s and 60s was a very peculiar one. Historically, the great tradition of the modern architecture from the 20s on was the idea that architecture was a complex matter, compound of different issues, utilities, firmitas, venustas, and basically all these things creating the action of architecture. The values were completely different from the past. The old values were new values related to the industrial world and to the abstract language, but the idea was that architecture was really an integral matter. This idea was basically condensated in the world of the great masters of architecture, of the modern architecture, Le Corbusier, Wright, Mies, later Kahn. All these people built the value of architecture on the interrelationship between the three spheres. The idea that the architecture must be beautiful, must be solid, and must be function. Just they changed the thing. The Venustas is not the old neoclassical Venustas, is an idea of an abstract dynamic language based on the experience of the avant-garde. The function was not the function of the kings or the power, were the new functions of the new industrial society. The tectonics was not the tectonics of the traditional way of building through walls and arch, but was the tectonics of the points and the tectonics of reinforced concrete and the steel. But the idea is that architecture was a combination of these things. And particularly, the key idea is that the value of the architecture was through this. The value was given by the synthesis of this idea. I think if I write down some words, I will help them, since I have the instrument. Let's use it. So I think this is something interesting to keep in mind. So the value
of architecture was made by was based on the synthesis of, I will use the old terms, okay, venutas, utilitas, and firmitas. So that is the value. The value goes in this idea.
Now, the first thing that you have to really understand, is that this new generation of critics, or theoreticians, are breaking a taboo. Colin Rowe was one of the first that breaking a taboo and was making a different, completely different approach that was the value doesn't come from the synthesis. The value comes from a extreme extreme concentration in very peculiar aspects. So the whole idea, the whole common sense based on the integrity of the thinking was broken, was started to be broken. Particularly Colin Rowe started in 40s, late 40s, 50s, etc., to write papers that were completely inconceivable for this way of thinking. He was writing paper about the formal mathematics of the Palladian villa. The formal mathematics of Palladian villa. And more than that, the title is not exactly this one, and more than that, was putting together, to make an example, the formal grammar of the Palladio villa and Le Corbusier, and the plan of Le Corbusier. Making this operation is breaking completely that assumption. Is breaking the assumption that the value of architecture comes from the integral combination and the good sense of the integrity, but it becomes very segmented. Very, very segmented. And the old culture, school, education, magazine, etc., was moving from that idea that still belongs to the generation of the master to this kind of thing. And it's a kind of breaking a real taboo. So it was really breaking something. So Colin Rowe, in a way, was the champion of this, and basically was doing this with a series of operations between United States, some kind of secondary school in the United States. For example, in Texas, there was a group of architects and theoreticians that was called the Texas Rangers, that in a school somewhere in Texas was starting to developing this idea. But the whole idea is really you don't create value from the synthesis, you create value from a very specific point. Let's say that you create value from a strong singularity. We can find a better word, but that is the idea. Now, within this framework, you have to understand that these things are kind of, in the 50s and in the 60s, they were kind of avant-garde, very minoritarian. Le Corbusier died in 66 or 64. Basically, all the masters were still alive. They were all still alive in that particular moment. And so it was a minority group, basically, okay? Now, what is the situation? The situation is that within this environment enters Eisman as a young architect. Before he was in a kind of productive studios, he was working with Tuck, with Gropius, or with Kilmore in Ferreira, a completely different world. Basically, through Colin Rowe, he entered in this kind of mental thing. An aspect to do this, you must do a series of operations to give sense of singularity. You cannot go mainstream. You have to find kind of a little bit hidden things, not too well known, in order to do an operation that on one side was the increasing of value of thinking that, of things that were not central. The other things that you do, you accredit yourself through that. If I'm saying that Lelian is the best architect in the 30s in the world, besides the fact that it's true or not true, I'm discovering Lelian. If I have power enough to accredit myself, I also accredit Lelian, come oggi con Aureli, you know. And it's exactly the same process. And I have to discover something rather a little bit singular, okay? So the perfect case, just a fantastic case for them to study, was this architect, this Italian architect, that died at the age of 39. That actually finished to work at the age of 35, that had an extremely evident and strong formal language, and that at the same time was really not known in the 50s and the 60s. Actually was even removed from the Italian culture itself, for the simple reason that all his career was done in the 20s of the fascism, and in the 50s and 60s you were too close to that. So basically it was removed culturally. Like that, imagine there is a fantastic architect that was operating here in Albania during the dictatorship, 10, 5, 15 years ago, you don't want to even look at him because there is such an implication. But for them it was different. They were Anglo-Saxon. They were looking at things from the outside. So Terragni became the hero of Colin Rowe and others of his school. There is not only Eisman, there is this Greek writer, Greek Anglo-Saxon, that wrote something in the 60s, not only Eisman. In Eisman, and what they did something interesting, that is that Eisman and Colin Rowe made this tour in Italy to visit Alberti, Palladio, etc., and to delve a lot in Como, because Terragni has a great advantage to have a lot of things there. And the young Terragni, the young Eisman, also had the opportunity to look at the original drawings and probably to take even some of them in a moment in which, you know, these things were, you know, in an archive of a good architect, it's not, you know, whatever. The other step is that Eisman writes a dissertation thesis that is called, how it is called? It's not called the value, of course, is not coming from that thing. It comes only from one word. He is interested only in the formal. And in fact, the thesis is called the formal analysis of modern architecture. That for us is completely logical, but in the 60s was again breaking this taboo. Okay? So he was taking only this part, and even this part analyzing in a very similar way, and also and basically based only on Terragni. So that dissertation thesis that I had in a certain phase I was at the Azzurri, I discovered this thesis. If you look at the literature on Terragni, on Eisman, you will discover that nobody never even mentioned the existence of this thesis. It was mentioned there in 3 or 4 lines to express this, and I put a note in that book selling. I hope that somebody will eventually publish this thesis, you know. And actually it happened after 15 years. Finally, this thesis after 15 years. But the first piece of information, it is there in the book. Because it was fundamental for that, and then because I've seen. Basically what it is a series of many, many, many drawings and analysis that is clearly you approach formal analysis through mainly, almost only Terragni in reality. Later on in the 60s, Eisman published two essays, and these two essays are not based on Terragni as a whole, as you can imagine. A person that becomes in paranoia for Terragni, you think, you know, that is the whole. No, 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 no. Everything is based on this kind of paranoid super singularity. He basically only studied in all his life about Terragni only two buildings. Even if you look at the book that he finally, after almost 50 years, published, is only on two buildings. And now we approach that. Which are these two buildings that he comes in paranoia, and why? The two buildings are these two. One, Otterrani. We are talking still Otterrani, but in order to approach Eisman, we have to do it this path. And since we have time, we'll do the path correctly, okay? The first one, it is the Casa del Fascio. Terragni made this building when he was 28, between parentheses, and this building, of course I cannot lecture about this building, but basically from a grammar formal point of view, it is based on a syntax of excavation of different depths. There is a semi-cube, a perfect semi-cube, and all the grammar, it is done perforating from the outside to inside this perfect cube with different depths. Okay, some are very long depths, some others are less deep. Of course, Eisman is not interested at all that he was for fascism or was not for fascism. What is the tectonic? What is the functionality? And all these other things. He's super interested only on this, only on the formal thing. Because this is the new approach. You take only one aspect, a very strong aspect. So that is the breaking of the taboo. So you don't keep the integrity, you keep the very strong singularity in the formal approach. The other building that he was interested in was the Giuliani Frigerio, which is this house. Can you see? It's eucalyptus. But here there is another approach. You cannot approach this house as a process of a perfect cube excavated with different depths. You have to approach this house with another system, and it's clearly the system of the detachment of the parts. It's based on a kind of neoplastic. Ci siamo, ben, sì? With a kind of neoplastic grammar and syntax, that is the grammar and syntax of the detachment of the parts, and the parts tend to become planes. That means, what is a neoplastic attitude? So here you see immediately that there is a movement that in some way is the opposite of the other. The other is an excavation, and the other in some ways a kind of detachment, explosion. And all the grammar is completely different. And why in the world you become paranoid only on two buildings that have also different syntax? And why you basically for all your life, you basically look at this. And well, you say there is something a little that worries us a little bit, you know. But on the other side, as any increment of value comes also from a very eccentric type, a very peculiar way of doing things. The thing is becoming evident when he creates this building, which is this building is really an essay on architectural language, on architectural syntax. It's just that it's not written in words, it is written in architecture. And it comes directly from a kind of critical understanding of these two opposite approach. Because this building, if you look at it 1 second, you say, you smell, no? You smell that belongs in some way with that. But there is more than smelling, there is something in there. I interpret this with a keyword. The keyword is implosion. What does it mean, implosion? Implosion is when you have an ampoule, a provetta, a bottle, a container, and the explosion, instead to be here, boom, it is within a constrained element. So if I have an explosion inside a bottle, that is called an implosion, okay? It happens within that. So I use this word to understand his approach, telling that he's combined the system of excavation and the system of explosion. He's not doing excavation exactly, he's not doing explosion either, he's doing implosion. And I will prove that in 1 second. So this is a keyword that will be relevant, very relevant later on. For now, we approach it only theoretically, okay? Oh, look at this. What it does is basically create, again, a perfect semi-cube, like similarly to Casa del Fascio. But instead of disengage the parts towards the outside, disengage them with a kind of planner attitude towards the inside. They are not excavation. You are clearly, you understand immediately that it's not the approach of excavation that we see here. And in some way similar to the planner attitude within that, but it's not done towards the outside, it's done towards the inside. So the perimeter, the outside perimeter in a way is a virtual line that contains the movement towards the inside. But towards the inside they are not excavation, they are explosion, inside. So that's why I call it implosion. And here you understand immediately the grammar they take on. So this, to me, is the highest point that Eisenman never reached as a critic and theoretic of architecture. There is no such a text in his writing, to me, that is at the level of this. In terms of architectural thinking, not in terms of things, okay? Because, and that is between parentheses, why I'm trying to explain that also in the PhD, you can deal, if you know how, with formal issues or with syntax issues, or you can really deal with architectural design if you move at a certain level, and you don't only have to do PhD in theory or in other matters, but also in issues that are related to actual design, but of course. And in some way, yours, Loris, was on this line, you know? Okay, so here we can see better the house, and we understand also there is another construct that we are going to discuss later on, that is the L organization. That is something that will be very evident later on, but here we start to understand that also in the way that the spaces are organized inside. But this is, let's say, it is a formal exercise. clearly it's a formal exercise. But at the same time, it's a formal exercise that has very deep roots. There is a real thinking about all these issues. What happened in the meantime? In the meantime, happens a series of things. One is, in order to support, since you are breaking the common sense of architecture as an integral synthesis, one approach to do that is you create singularity. And you find possibly something eccentric. You look it very, very formally, but then you need another fundamental ingredient to accredit the system, this new system based on singularity. And to accredit this system, you don't go in the common sense of architecture, because tectonic doesn't matter, functionality doesn't matter. In order to accredit, you have to look somewhere else. So, and where you go and look somewhere else? In the closest field, art and particularly philosophy. Art and philosophy, that was an outside matter, art no, but philosophy was completely an outside matter for the first generation, a few points. Instead, for this generation, became an incredible point of accreditation of this singularity. You need them to create the new system. So Eichmann went from step to step to need to find support outside to the field of architecture in order to support this singularity. So he had three or four passions, let's say, or three or four fathers, as he called, that basically, after Colin Rowe, in the very, very first phase, was kind of playing that role. Now, in the 60s, there were different movements in arts. Pensate che è troppo complicata? No, because I don't want that you are my specific target, and, you know, I probably have to look at some of them also, in order to... For you guys, it's too complex. You want to ask questions, please do, okay? Because otherwise I'll do something that is too heavy for you to digest. It's better that I look some of you, I think. Possiamo avere la lista così li mette in mezzo? Ok. For example, this very interesting student. Ah, sono tutti qua? Non tutti. No, fagli fermare col loro nome, il vecchio sistema, così io li inquadro. Now, what is pop art to you, my friend? Yes. You have a vague idea what is pop art? When it was, what it was, as a... If I tell pop art, no? What do you answer me? Because I have to understand more or less where are you. Come? Andy Warhol, for example, okay, is a good answer. And if you have to explain to your friends that is close by, in one or two words, what is pop art about it? Yeah, okay. Let's say in the world of popular art is a little bit of the idea, was the idea to bring the media, let's say, of the mass society to a level of aesthetic interest. So they were dealing with comics, they were doing with advertisements, they were doing with mass producing, etc., etc. Okay? So this was the mainstream in the 60s, okay? But together with that, you have to understand, can you imagine, just for one second, a person like Eichmann with this characteristic that can be interesting in popular art, in pop art, do they match? They don't match. He relates that, basically. Because it's completely foreign to all these things. So he was looking in another area that is an area still existing in the 60s and 70s that was called conceptual art. The conceptual art basically is the enemy of pop art. It's exactly the opposite. While the popular art, devo fare degli esempi perché sennò non mi seguono. While popular art is basically the idea to bring all the complexity and chaotic world of mass society within the field of art, conceptual art is the opposite because wants to create a process of abstraction, singularity, abstraction that is really the maximum, right? And of course, Eichmann in some way adhered to that way of thinking. He belonged to that, he wanted to have them as an ally. So, what is conceptual art? They will write a word with a neon thing and then say, okay, it's there, it's like a rebus. You have to start thinking, what are the implications of this? You know? And then there are the critics and everybody and the books and the magazines, they will explain why that thing it is so relevant, you know? So this is a kind of that system. And the philosophy and everything was around that. So he also himself some actions that belongs to this. For example, this is a piece by Eichmann that calls Notes on Conceptual Architecture that tells a lot of things about this. What is this? This is a white sheet of paper with a few numbers, and with these few numbers there are five books mentioned there. So it's very interesting because it's again it's a process of accreditation, etc. This is a piece that either you belong to that or you don't belong. It's a typical action that is that. Why that is important? Because after some experiment like this, like Austu, that is an important piece, and others, Eichmann basically theorized this theorem of architecture. And the theorem was... Dov'è il foglio? Stanno firmando? Yes, hurry up. And the theorem was, you just have to sign your name, that's it. It's not complicated. The theorem was that architecture was a text. This was the theorem. Architecture is a text. Saying that architecture is a text is basically the actual manifestation of all this thinking. So architecture is not more tectonics, it's not more function, it's not more context, it's no more anything that you are tend to think normally, but it's a text, it is an abstraction, it is a syntax. And the text is governed by the rule of language. This is also very important because in the 60s and 70, the linguistic became a very important approach within the field of architecture about criticism, etc. The father of linguistic was de Saussure, a philosopher and linguistic. And later there's been the Russian school of structuralism in the 20s that were developing about that. And in the late 60s, 70s, there was Chomsky. And Chomsky was a point of reference. What does it do, a linguistic? The linguistic doesn't deal with the semantic. If I take casa è bella, right? I can be interested on the semantic about it. What does it mean the house is beautiful, okay? What is house? From where house comes from? What is the story of this word? Are the barbarians? Are the Latins? Etc., etc. That is the etymology of the word. Or the sense of what does it mean? The linguistic, instead, study this as its structure, its own structure, its own synthetic structure. And you say, but there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of books and university chairs and magazines and about this approach that he's telling very simply, but basically just to orient himself. So basically Eichmann theorized, this is very important, that the architecture is a text. And then after that he theorized another thing. He said, all right, what I'm doing is cardboard architecture. Architettura di carta, architettura di cartone. That is the translation of his, it's a kind of formula that is in a way, echo this. So, singularity, the value is built on the formulary. The formal aspect is essential. The syntax is the thing, the text is, architecture as a text, is the body, the container body, and the cardboard architecture is, let's say, the formula of all these things. So he starts to play. And he builds one house after the other, not too many though. He makes one house every 2 or 3 years, because he's basically a university professor. He's not really an operating architect. He's a university professor that here and there finds another crazy university professor that will give him a house to do. And this house, generally, there are hundreds of anecdotes about how crazy these houses are. Because, you know, since they are all generated with some time of intellectual gains, everything may happen. For example, in this case, he starts from the assumption to have a cube. Then he cuts the cube. Then he takes that. Then he turns it. Boom. So he says, ah, fantastico. You are?
Romir.
Romir Mazzari.
Yes.
Okay, Romir. Okay. You understand? If you settle like that, what's happening there? That you have a pillar in the middle of your tooth, which is exactly what happens. So it's a kind of formal approach that luckily finds some client to do that, but are a machine of tortures in a way. And even a critic, an Italian critic called Manfredo Tafuri, use formulae that are very interesting. For example, he called in the 70s Eichmann un terrorista formale, which is, you know, rather interesting as a definition. So he makes a series of these, which are the really meaningful one, and the real meaning is this one. Because this one, the house too, is radicated on all that approach. This one are a little bit gratuity, you know, that are grammar kind of abstract things that at the end are not very meaningful. But here we understand another important element in the process of accreditation that is absolutely fundamental. So we understood that the accreditation goes singularity, eccentricity. This is very important, eh? Because I'll give you a formula. I'll give you a formula in reality. Singularity, eccentricity, support on the outside discipline, in this case philosophy or linguistics, and there is a number fourth, very important accreditation process, which is shown here. Habib, dove sei, caro Habib? What is this fourth element that you really need? Habib is shown here. Proviamo un altro. You are thinking in the same time. Proviamo una ragazza. Erida. This is a way also that I relax a little bit. And I know you. You know, so we can relax a little. You come in intense tension and I relax. That's the game. So Erida. What is the fourth element to the key of success?
Not be the same every time.
No. Yes, a little bit yes, but it's really shown here.
Larson.
Eh?
Larson.
No. So he doesn't care at all. He's completely out. No. Edwina. if it is shown there. Edwina, what is that? Dai, Edwina. Dai, yeah, yeah, you can consult. With your closed ecosystem, you can consult. Okay, the consultation goes on. Let's try with another area. Dea, dov'è Dea? Dea, forza Dea. Yeah, tell it again. Yes, explain more to the other. The fourth element, we said singularity, accreditation, eccentricity. And the fourth, in some ways, process. But explain it more. In which, okay, somebody understood what she meant? Dunque tu hai Dea, andiamo vicino a Dea, Emel. But how this creates a value? The problem is the value. Why this is so important? Think in economical terms. Think in economical terms. Eh? No. Eh? Eh? Vedete com'è importante che hai due teste, otherwise I ride to the moon and you are still around polis. I'm arriving the moon and where are they? Oh, over there. I have to check where if you are a little bit with me. It's so simple. No. No. No, she's right. The word process is important. Now try to understand. Since the architecture, even as a build part, is not important, it's not very important at the end the architecture is built. We said that it's a text. We said that it's cardboard architecture. We said that there's all sorts of real problems. What is really important is the process. But not only the process, is the way that you accredit your operation to the fact to make it explicit. You make it explicit. So, you imagine Le Corbusier or another architect that takes that architecture and then draws 2 million drawings in axonometric, this, then, boom, down, 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 down. No, because it's the value of architecture that he deals. One is done, it's done. You go there, you experience, you do it, etc. Instead, within this other system, the fact that you draw the process, draw, is the thing that you, through this fourth level of accreditation, you accredit, basically, the syntax operation that you have done as a formal thing, as a textual. And also, you enter in the world that is the world more evident and more important for a people like Eisman, that is the world of the magazine, is the world of the architectural chair, is the world of education, is the world of exhibit, is the world of culture. In order to enter this, you have to explicit, let's say, the process. So the process, in a way, is the key, right word. You understand? Why? So it's the fourth thing that we can keep as process. That's why these drawings take this important role, crucial role, in the moment in which there were not computers. So all these things, I'm putting one of hundreds and thousands, where is a process of legitimation of the thing. We are still in the word implosion. Huh? He did others with different approach. In this one you understand clearly what he does. He has a box. It makes more sense in this case. This one is just, you start with crazy assumption, you arrive to crazy results, you know, what you want. This one is a little more sense, you know. It's a kind of, the thing makes sense, you know. You have a system inside, and a system that attacks it on the outside. So in some way you can do a lot of syntax, things, etc., but within a much more logical way to approach the results. This is another, etc. What happened in the meantime? Another fantastic invention they had. Because you have to imagine that this is also a process of self-affirmation. You don't have only to look with the framework of architecture. It's also a matter of self-affirmation. What they have? They have a great invention. It's an incredible invention. Okay, so we are based on this. We have this process of accreditation. We understand how we do it. What is the next step that is absolutely geniale? How you do it? Now imagine that we have, who you are there? Okay. There is our terrorist formal, okay? She knows about that. She's our little Iceman and she moved all that. She knows that it's formal, she knows that, she draws, she's okay. Arrive at a certain moment, okay, you arrive up to a certain level. How you can do the next step in the process of affirmation? What you have to do it? Try to imagine. Eh? You have to exhibit, yes, you exhibit one, twice, three times, but you have to do a jump. How you do a jump? There, think very well. How do I do a jump?
More
something technical? No! Absolutely no! No, there, it's a disaster. You are going down immediately. No technical, no. Completely out of the way. No. I need an idea. How do I do it? Bravo, dai.
Maybe more theoretical, more conceptual, can confirm development's idea process.
Hey, it will be nice, but it's more simple than that, and it's more strategic. What do you do to do another step? You arrive to a level. Sai, c'è questo, non so come si dice in inglese, la teoria della soglia, no? That you can grow up to a certain level, then you to jump a level, you have to change, no? Non so come si dica in inglese. But you can grow within a system up to a certain point, then you have to change something. What Eichmann understood to change it? It's very simple. I'm doing all this rhetoric because if I do the rhetoric, then you remember. What do you do? Very simple there. Turn yourself. Turn yourself. Do it like this. Do it like this. Do this movement. Do more. Do more. Turn more. Look the other. Look the other guys. Look the other guys. Look. Go. Look in the other direction. No. But you have to really look for 1 second. Look at them. And now. Turn on the other right. Look at them. And now you look at the others. And look at Lady and look at Loris and look at Antonino. Look. 5 seconds, but look. Not look. Okay. What she discovered? She didn't, because she's stressed. But somebody else understood. Eh? No. I understood that when you said structure, I understand that you are lost. So for now you relax a bit. You'll never get it. Eh?
If you compare the idea to the other existing...
Who are you?
Anguena.
Anguena. It's like process before. So we are close. So what do you really do? You do a jump that is a systematic jump. Why I told her look? And then why I told her look at them also? Is there the key? Anybody has an idea? It's so simple when you realize. Come? No. No. Why I said look at others and why I said look at them? Eh?
Comparison.
some, yeah, we are there. Come? Observation is tautologic. I said observer, you are saying observation. You have to do a jump. Why? We are approaching, but why? This also, you don't do anything. You why? It's a workshop, no? Vogliono questo anche. It's also an active thing. Otherwise, you know, you read the book and that's okay. Why?
To see the context
around. What does it do if you are in a forest with animals? You look at them. Why? No! You two... No! To target! It's a target! And why you need that? What is the idea to jump? You have to create... What do you have to create? No! A group. You have to change level, to change gear. You have to create a group. Otherwise, you will be always there. You can achieve a certain level, but you cannot jump to another level. That's why I told you, look. No? So you target and you say, okay, now they wake up. Okay. So she said, maybe her over there, I mean,
Anduena.
Yes, I am white. If she put that blouse white, she's purple. She's good. You know, she has some capabilities. We are compatible. She's intelligent enough. She's smart enough. Probably would be good if instead of that purple, she has white too. But okay. Then I look at him. What's your name? Okay. Another. Yeah. He could. And then him. And then him. What is a good number that sounds nice? 5? No? 5. Why do I look at Ledian, Loris and him? Why I look at them? Why I told you I need look at them? No. No. Because you create this group. They are called the Tirana 5. You have some level. You have... Look, it's not very different. The reality is not very different what I'm telling. You create this group. It's compatible. You do some little thing. Please don't do that thing red. Do it white. When we are together, please don't put that, you know, you are good, but the purple doesn't really fit, okay? But you do things like that. You are compatible for many other things. Why you look at them? Why? No, yes, they are a different target, though, because they are much older than you are, like your masters, right? So you being a credit to them, and you say, all right, guys, we created the Tirana 5. I am Dea Peter, the terrorist. You are a Mula, the ecologist. And you are Eduk, the the theoretician, you are Siegel, the practitioner, so everybody is a little bit particular, but we share many things. And the next show, we don't do Peter Eisenman, they are Peter show, we do the Tirana 5. These things, it is done in the gallery here, and Antonino, Loris, and Levian will write an essay for you. Hai capito? So at this moment, you create basically a group. The creation of the group is not what you generally think. The other groups, they were real groups. They were cutting the vene to what was the philosophy, not the philosophy, the politics and this and that, etc., etc. They write letters, etc., and bam, boom, boom, boom. They were kind of integral communities. I'm reading between parentheses the history of the pre-Raffaeliti. Pre-Raffaeliti, Morris, etc. Carriai, passando un secolo e mezzo, something completely different. It is a very pragmatic, in a way. It's a very pragmatic group. In realtà, they didn't very rarely did any projects together. It's just a way to promote themselves. Promote themselves as a group, instead of promote themselves as individual, make the change of scale. So at a certain moment, arrives the New York Five, si chiama il gruppo, the group of Peter Eisenman, Richard Meyer, Michael Graves, John Eduk, Siegel and Gatway, is called the New York Five. There is only one problem, that there are six in reality, there are not five. But the New York Six was not huge. So they keep this New York Five, but in reality there were six. Because Gatway and Siegel, they were together, so they were six. It's called the New York Five. And from that moment on, they achieve another level, because they kind of have a common impact. They have some level of similarities and some level of difference. Okay, but in terms of media, was a great thing, because once you are Peter Eisenman alone on your 30s, you cannot go to the main museum of Tirana. But when you are the come abbiamo chiamata the Tirana Five, when you are the Tirana Five with Antonino, Legend, etc., they write in catalog, you can hope to go to the museum, then to be invited. Ah, yes, in Albania, who is opening? Ah, yes, the Tirana Five. Yes, let's have it at the Biennale. And these things start to move. Ha capito com'è il sistema? And then it is born. Non l'ho mai raccontata così, però è carina così, perché è proprio vera, è proprio esattamente vera. Cioè, sono there are process of accreditation, no? And strategies of accreditation. So, in the mid of 70s, these things of the New York Five, they start to have an important exhibit in the Museum of Modern Art. They create an institute that was governed by Eisenman, that is called the Institute of Urban Studies, that was a kind of a private school, it's a mixture of a private school, a place where some job can go through, the kind of mixture of things that was there. They create immediately a magazine, of course, and they start to interest the critics, not only in America, and particularly outside, and in France. L'architettura Zorzugui create an issue on them, and finally arrived with the power of a very dense intellectual and historical structure, Manfredo Dafuri. Because Manfredo Dafuri is, let's say, the outside critics, still very young, in a phase in which he was doing also critics, and he rejected, but it was writing on them in the 70s. Okay, so this is the situation. Then he kind of affirmed himself within this world, and at a certain moment in the 70s, we are around 75, a very interesting fact happens, very interesting. Iceland decides, or understands, or grows up, the New York Five are doing their job, basically, more accredited, is already to another level. He's the director of the Institute of Urban Studies of New York, through which many people pass, Colas, for example. Now, Colas, when he goes in America, went through that, etc., etc., etc. Let's not do that. But then it happened a very interesting phenomenon, that he understood that all this kind of purely syntactic game will not go too far. So he decides, or he has the occasion, to do a real architecture, in a way. Why a real architecture? Because, pensi che sono stremati, quanto gli diamo ancora prima del break? Un quarto d'ora, eh? So è importante che loro capiscano. So around 5 to 4, 10 to 4, to 5 to 4, we stop for a break. Okay, so just be concentrate. We don't go on. Just okay. We will finish the first part. Then, unfortunately, I have to continue until 10 o'clock because I realized. so sempre studenti, la campanella. Non gli puoi cambiare la campanella. Allora. So he understands, and he makes a great architecture again. He, at a certain point, after all these semi-disasters, he creates another really beautiful architecture. Why? Look at this drawing for 1 second. Mentor, look at the drawing. Look at the drawing, okay? Look at this drawing. Okay, this is an accent, but doesn't matter. I want that you point it out. What is the key difference between this and this? Besides the fact that that is an axonometric and this one is a plan. But there is one really profound difference. Which one is that?
Maybe it's the form.
Is the form, yes, but there is one aspect that is so relevant. Aspetta, facciamo lavorare 2 minuti mentor. Yeah, but the striking thing, the difference, che volevi dire tu?
I thought about integration.
Like integration or? Or connection or? Eh? There is a context. There is a space. The whole assumption of the cardboard architecture and text, etc., is that the whole architecture, to be a game of play, of cards, also in another case was called play of cards, was based on a completely abstract surface. Was like putting things on a plateau. Like you go at your Mensa, you take a plateau, okay? You take a boom, boom, boom. That's it. The plateau doesn't have any meaning. In fact, it's a game of cards. And it's all self-referential syntactically. Here there is, who cares what is around, you know? It's just the object and the grammar of the object, okay? Instead here, even from the drawing, you say, Peter Eisman, the draws that. In reality, what happens here is that for the first time he understands then the physical context, because context is a word that may think a lot of other things, but the physical environment plays an important role in architecture. And it plays an important role, is an active role. That means that architecture intervenes, plays with the physical reality. You are not playing an abstract game of cards on a plateau. You are creating a game that is a game that takes the truth. So here, as you can see from the contour lines, clearly we are in a sloping in a sloping site, right? The site slopes. And, okay, the site slopes. And he has another fantastic idea. Not when I say that, I would put it differently. I had a fantastic idea how to explain you the house. This is the reality. As the other exact thing, in telling really the truth, when I talk of implosion, me had a fantastic idea to explain you through the word of implosion. There is not a single word. I had a fantastic idea to tell you why these two strange things of the Giuliani Frigeri and things combined in this way, just to tell you exactly how things are. It's not Eichmann that tell us, it's we that tell him. So anyway, what is this great way that he in his subconscious, let's say, he operated, are two different constructs. One is the construct of, there are two constructs that are very interesting. One is the construct of Ferrani again, that is the Danteum. The Danteum is organized like this. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4 places, and you go from one to the other in a kind of ascending path. So there are 4 quadrants contained, you enter on one side and you exit on the other side, you do this kind of spiral inside, and with system of situation from one to the other, you go up and you are absolutely contained within this. And there are 4 quadrants. There is another idea that is a very interesting idea, and it comes from the Frank Lloyd Wright. The idea is that every man is on castle, it's called, and it's a typology that he did for the Usami analysis that were based on the fact that basically you have systems that are like that, and there are 4 units, each one that opens on his system, but on a central part. So, if you combine these 2 ideas with a sloping site, you have Austen. This is Austen. I never had the chance to speak with Peter Eichmann about this particular thing, and I don't know if that was conscious or unconscious, but it is a good way to interpret this house. Now look at it. So here we see a series of signs that tells us that there is a kind of a processional path to go to the house, right? We understand. And what we understand particularly is that there is this path comes inside basically the 4 quadrants. So instead of being solid, like in right, in some way similar to the Danteum, because those are also paths in the Danteum. Only certain paths are paths, in certain paths are not. So basically what's happening here, you see that the house is divided in 4 quadrants. 1, 2, 3, and 4. And what we see here is the continuation of this path from the outside. Probably, I think you enter like this and you exit like that, or you circulate like that. But anyway, this is an important element, and also this one is also an important element. So you have this house divided in 4 paths, eccoli qua, in 4 parts. 1, 2, 3, 4. Once the 3 parts are basically in this kind of cruciform system, they can be a little bit like Frank Lloyd Wright, taking advantage of the different situation. There is no sense and no rules that they must be compact. Why they must be compact? They are liberated. They are liberated in a kind of neoplastical attitude. So the language, in a way, is a neoplastical language, in a way, more or less. So it's a process of separation, of cutting, of planes, but particularly being an intrinsically a logical organization, naturally is a beautiful house that works very nice, because basically each quadrant can become something. In one part you have the living space with the studio that may be the moving two levels. In another part you have the guest house. In other parts you have kitchen things. So yes, an inner strength, because the scheme has an inner force. So at that point, if you do the first two step right, general architecture comes easy. If you kind of create a prison, you will never get out. If you create a prison from the beginning, what do you want to end up? With suicide. Architectural speaking. If you do a first move that is logical, then the thing grows. And you take advantages of many things. So one thing that is extremely interesting here is also in some way some kind of language, let's say, things. In this case we can say, at the beginning, you, the New York Five, decided that you had to be all white, had to be all stucco, and you decided the whole thing. Basically now you can liberate a little bit, you know. And if you look at here, you don't have that abstraction anymore. You have a little bit of collage of different materials and different patterns that is completely unknown before, because before everything is white, you are white, that is that, So here instead has that kind of attitude, you see. And also very interesting, he uses here some elements that will become more familiar with Gary. But actually they are already in this house of Eichmann, believe it or not. For example, this structure with the nets. You know? And that kind of feeling that there is a little bit of assemblage. We are in 75. So this is rather interesting if you look from this strictly linguistic point of view. No? There is a little bit of technique also. Okay, now, unfortunately, this house, for a series of reasons that was never clear, although this incredible passion, these things, and this very beautiful project, was not built. Not only was not built, but I think something should have happened sometime with some, there is some story, I'm sure, about that. But the result is that the house is not built. And our Peter fell in a kind of depression phase, really kind of sort of really rather depressing phase, because you know when you work on something very important and it's not done, it's kind of depressing, you know. And the other thing is that always in a phase of late 40s, is a phase that historically, in the evolution of people, often there are those crises of change, you know, those crises of transformation. So he really went into this. And he really started to make amazing things. So since the house was not built, he stepped up to the previous approach. So it's not built, okay, now let's build the process about this. And he starts to kind of deform even the house that he did. So imagine this, this was a beautiful architecture, it was not built. He has to, in a way, vehicolare, move it all in the system of the media. He starts to make craziness like this. Look at this one. It is the model of the house built as it were an axonometric. So this is an axonometric building model. Sei fuori. In a lot of drawings also in all this space. Look at this. Look at this. Are frightening. Are really frightening. And at the same time, the problem was a huge problem. Not only you are approaching 50s, not only they don't build you the house, but a tragedy happened. A real tragedy. Amulia, come si chiama lei? A buena. Come? Anduena. Anduena, aspetta che ci scrivo. Anduena. You know what you did to there? What did you did to there in this space? Because there is Peter. And you, Anduena, the worst thing, you did the worst thing. After you navigated with us in the New York 5, etc., and you get all our success, all our exhibit, you were waiting white, as they had told you. Everything seems so right. One day you said, the hell of you. I will put my purple things back on me. I will go back to where my soul is. The hell of you there. I start to draw statues, yes, capitals, columns, arches. I do collage all the time, and I win the lottery, because arrives the postmodernism, and I, Anduena, after I put my purple thing back on, I became Michael Graves. I became the hero of the postmodernism. And being the hero of postmodernism in 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 85, 89, in the United States means that you there are building the axonometric of the house that you were not able to build, so fantastica così, but it's exactly true. You are building in your office the axonometric of the house, fantastic, bellissimo, of the house that you were not able to build. And me, with my purple jacket back on, I'm building the Portland building, the Disney headquarters, the Las Vegas casino, you name it. I am in the first cover of Time magazine. I have a studio with 50 fantastic boys, in your case. And you understand? Yeah, ciao. And I have a lot of reason to really be depressed. Really depressed. And all these guys in America, if they can afford, they go to the psychiatrist. This is absolutely normal. All of them go in a cycle of analysis. And the cycle of analysis, it is very important cycle, because it takes all their lives, so basically never ends. You know, if you've seen the movies of Woody Allen, you understand very well this concept. No? So now we can take a break, and we'll see how we solve this. You are the hero, I am the axonometrist, and we see the other chapter, because there are two or three chapters in reality. This is just the first chapter of the story. But we have, I don't think we can do all five. Except if we cannot change the rhythm, we cannot do it all five. So, no?
How much time?
Decidi tu. Dategli voi l'ordine in maniera che sia chiaro e perentorio. Che sia realistico. È piaciuto? Mi divertito? Thank you. I'm enjoying also myself.
In piena forma.